The Phil Hendry Show is performed entirely by Phil Hendry.
Yeah, this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm General Gaiman Shaw. I say yeah, by the way, I wouldn't listen to this on a bet. I don't know who this band is, or I don't know who they is, whatever the plural is.
No, I think you'd say, who is this band?
And I wouldn't recommend them. I wouldn't recommend them to be used by a South American regime in attaching electrodes to a man's testiculars to try to get information from him that may be of some value to some fascist neo-Nazi, a crawling, thuggish regime.
In other words, you wouldn't play this full blast outside of the embassy in...
People talk about...
Let's move this along a little bit.
I'm talking about modern history, Phil.
Now let's move it along a little bit, General.
Anyway, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me, and with the...
And I am Margaret Gray, and that's Bud Dickman, who is butting in.
I'm butting in.
And Robert Leonard.
Yeah, hello, and now Phil Hendry.
Actually, that was true, what you were discussing there, Margaret.
Yes, I know it was true. It was back in the, General, you have probably more information on that.
Yes, I do.
You gotta defer to the General on the military matters.
Which is what I was doing, brains.
Jesus.
Anyway, it was back during the Panama Canal invasion there by U.S. Force 1989, of which I took a limited part, very limited. By that time, I was, I'd been kicked way upstairs. Working with the brass of the Pentagon.
What did you do?
I'm not at liberty to say.
No, was it like top secret?
No, it wasn't top secret. I'm just not at liberty to say because it's not top secret. It's just the fact that I was...
You were what?
I was using some petty cash. Never mind.
Oh, my God. Is that something that's a scandal?
No, it's not a scandal. I got caught with my hand in the cookie jar. I was using petty cash to go and... get lunch for everybody, and it's very embarrassing.
Wait a minute, what is this anyway?
It was an embarrassing event. I was working there at the Pentagon, and they caught me one day sticking my hand in the drawer out of petty cash and getting money for everybody so we could make a run to Five Guys, okay?
Did Five Guys exist then?
Well, whatever it was. The burger joint there in Washington, D.C. And because of that, I was not allowed to take active participation in Operation Asshole, okay?
That's not what it was called.
That's what I called it. Because I was a whole world at war and I'm left out of it? God would not permit this.
And it wasn't a whole world at war.
I know, I'm just quoting...
Patton.
How do you know?
Because I've seen the movie, all right? So anyway, what happened during the Panama invasion?
What happened to the Panama invasion was... this guy, whatever the guy's name, was it Noriega?
Yeah.
Noriega took asylum there in the Vatican embassy, and the U.S. forces were trying to drive him out, so they played at the very highest levels some of this heavy metal and...
wasn't heavy metal, it was sticks.
I don't know what you call it, but it was... I'll tell you this right now, it was god-awful. No man or beast would have been able to survive listening to that swill for much longer. First thing it did is it drove the priests out.
Wait. You're talking about when Noriega went into the Vatican embassy in Panama City.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's what he said, Phil.
I know, but I didn't know anything about the priests being driven out.
Oh, it drove everybody out. The last guy to succumb was Noriega. He was able to put up with that garbage.
Well, the song they played, Bud, you may know this.
Yeah, it's called Renegade. It was a song called Renegade by Styx.
Yeah, and they played it full blast.
Right, they played it at full blast, and then what?
Well, then, as I was saying before, you guys, wait, what is this all of a sudden, a committee? I'm giving you the rundown.
All right, so what happened?
What happened was, the first people to be driven out by the garbage that they were hearing were these priests and, you know, all the usual nuns and all those people, and they were screaming, holding their ears and saying, oh, God, it sticks, something like that.
Oh, get out of here.
That's my understanding. Then then came Noriega, and he was bleeding from the nose. He said, ah, Jesus, not that band, you know. And, well, you know, please don't play Fatal, what's it called? It's a False Illusion?
Grand Illusion.
Yeah, please don't play that. And that's when they played that.
Oh, man. Man, I'd bat my ass out of there, too. You nuts or something? Styx is one of the greatest bands ever.
Well, I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Well, Styx was one of those groups that was quite... they were a very interesting little group out of Chicago. They wished that they were, I guess, from England. They sounded as if they were from England, but they were actually from Skokie or someplace like that, is my understanding.
Well, I wouldn't know. All I know is they drove Noriega out. He fled the building so he wouldn't have to listen to that garbage. And guess what? As soon as he got outside, it got louder.
Yeah, all right. So, long story short, we just burned up a whole bunch of time on what?
Well, excuse me for breathing.
No. It was a good story, General.
I thought you people would... What is this, sir?
General, let's stay over here.
Oh, thank you. This is the news copy here.
Anyway, welcome to the show. Thank you, General, for that. But it is an interesting story because... I don't know if a lot of people know that.
Why were we talking about this?
Because of the garbage that this guy was playing at the beginning.
This guy?
That Phil was playing.
Yeah. I was playing something. I forget what it was.
That Megadeth.
No, one matters. It was Meatball.
Meatball?
Wait a minute. Meatball. It was called Bless the Fall, you...
I don't know about that.
All right. Welcome to our show here on this Thursday. Is that what this is? Oh, yeah, it's Thursday. So today I'm going to be going over to Podcast One. Very, very brief interlude in the hiatus that we put Science of the Funny on. And we have Whitney Cummings.
Oh, I love her. She's now, you're going to interview her for the what?
For the Science of the Funny.
Oh, she's great. Ask her about, I'd love to find out what she thinks of the what do you call it, the Amy Schumer and the Sarah...
Yeah, what about is that girl's name? What's she, Sarah Schumer?
Sarah Silverman and Amy Schumer.
Yeah, tell Whitney Cummings what she thinks about it. I mean,
don't tell her what she thinks about it.
No, ask her what she thinks about it.
That's it right there. Ask her what she thinks about it.
All right. What? Hey, General, let me ask you something. Are you just talking?
I'm trying to get the blood flowing up to my brain, all right? It's too early.
Yeah, will I get some coffee?
Go ahead, get me coffee. That won't help.
All right. Anyway, we'll go over and talk to her today. We also have Chef Carl Cedillo, who is going to be with us to talk about turkey and cooking turkey for the... I realize that it's very, very early.
Yes, well, we've still got another month to go, but is he discussing the infrared ovens? I must know.
Yeah. He's going to talk about these new infrared ovens and how he prefers the slow-roasted all-day, whatever the hell you call it.
Yeah, man, but I tell you what, there ain't nothing like that.
Talk about all-day cooking?
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing like an all-day cooked-it-up turkey. Love it to death.
Yeah, what do you know about it?
I know how to eat one.
Well, okay. Stupid question on my part.
Little bit.
You know, so...
Wait. So, it's the Chef Carl Cedillo.
I want to come in. This guy with the comeback about I know how to eat one. Yeah, I'll bet you know how to eat one.
Oh, my God. He's not even talking about turkey.
Yes, he is. I believe he is, right?
Sure, whatever you say.
All right, Steve Bozell is going to be on with I have been told, a bone to pick with a bone to pick with Phil Hendry.
What are you laughing at, Mr. Hendry?
Because every time you say bone to pick...
No, he's got some complaint that I think is actually justified concerning a bit that goes back many, many years on this show that he wants to have cleared up. Kurt Quede and Guy Barton from the West Virginia State Legislature's thing, they're going to be on here to talk about... Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin now, the head of Russia, right?
Yeah, that guy. Everybody thinks this guy's all... I can't believe some of these people.
Well, they're going to come on and... I think they've got a poster they're selling of Vladimir Putin.
What for?
I don't know. I think they think they're going to sell it to certain people that think Vladimir Putin all of a sudden is all this and sex on wheels. Then R.C. Collins is going to be on to talk about Ronda Rousey and...
Yeah, the Holly Holm fight.
Ronda Rousey is this young lady?
Yes, Ronda Rousey is a very attractive bantamweight from UFC. I'm not a big fight fan. I don't know anything about her other than I have seen her. And I do know that young Mr. Collins is going to be on to prop this fight.
Yeah, November the 14th in Australia for the women's bantamweight title, is my understanding. All right, let's go to Bob Bacon. He's got traffic this morning. Bob?
Hey, Phil, thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. Bob Bacon, my guy Scott here. And up the sky, I've got Skyboy with us today, as well as Skyboy. How you doing?
Hey, that guy's calling, man. What's up, man?
Skyboy, we're giving us the top down. You going out town. If you start the 15th, Phil, don't go there, because we've got a lot of construction moving out the rail. There's a rail trap, there's a transit strike that's going to be happening, a newspaper strike. That newspaper strike in 1958 in New York City. Out here, they take that five lane. I've been told, if you take the diamond lane today on the 405 freeway, and you go live with a strand, and you're right, you know, you're going to get stranded, you're wrapped, and I'll tell you what, you're wrapped up in saran wrap to put you there right in time for Christmas time. Hey, Skyboy.
Out here on the 405 freeway, and the 405, you're 59 miles, and I'm going to go.
Well, you're speaking Russian. Okay, Skyboy. I had it last one time. Ah, oh, shit!
My God, that was lovely.
Boy, I've never heard a guy die so elegantly as our good, close, personal friend, Bob Bakian. All right, folks, on the line with us here this morning, and gratefully so, and very, very happily so, is our good, close, personal friend, Chef Carl Cedilia. And Chef Cedilia has today's recipe, the recipe of the day. We're going to be talking with Chef Cedilia about turkey and how to cook turkey, because guess what, baby? It is, you know, it's the fall month. Chef Carl Cedilia, how you doing, sir? Well, Chef Cedilia, I know you're with Ted's of Beverly Hills.
I love right here at Southern Beverly Hills in beautiful Beverly Hills, California. I'd kill that cornball music, you know.
That's a turkey in a straw.
I know it's a turkey in a straw. Fuck me. It's all right, you know.
Chef Cedilia, we've been asked, I know that you, we're trying to clean the language up.
All right, but I heard turkey in a straw once. I've heard a million times. When it comes to making turkey. Well, good morning, everybody. Chef Carl Cedilia here, live from the kitchens of Treasure Beverly Hills in Beverly Hill, California. And I'm talking about cooking a turkey. And, you know, there's nothing like a good, delicious, rich, prime butterball turkey. And I do recommend the butterball.
Now, that's the butterball?
That's what I said. I don't stutter.
Look, Chef Cedilia, you got to understand.
Well, what is this anyway, all right? I thought I was going to do a presentation. And
excuse me, Chef Carl Cedilia, it's difficult to understand some of the things you say.
Well, I might. So, this is
that. This is not a monologue. We're going to ask you questions.
Well, that's not my understanding, but that's okay. Well, let me.
It's not that we're going to be interrupting you or anything, but we.
No, that's what you guys. All you do is interrupt me.
We got some valid and legitimate questions.
But I'll take care of it.
I'm talking to a guy right now. Right?
Hey, Chef Cedilia, anyway, right here.
Okay. Valid and legitimate questions is pretty funny, but anyway, shall I continue?
Go ahead.
All right, so we're going to be, again, Phil, I want to just basically do recommend a butterball. And for those of you who want a bigger turkey, do you want to have a big bun? You don't already have a big one. see, this is the part where you can laugh.
I can't understand anything you're saying.
What are we going to laugh at, Cedilia?
I said it. For those of you that want a big one, if you don't already have one.
Oh, I see. You mean big turkey.
I meant big turkey, but...
Okay, you meant big turkey, but it was a double entendre.
Are you talking about a penis?
Oh, man. You know, I can tell you, the only thing that we got here that even resembles a funky neck. And I wasn't even going to say that. And
you know, this is going south real fast, so why don't you just go ahead and tell us, and when we jump in with a question, you won't flip your lid.
Yeah. So, I really resent him talking about a penis.
Well, you're the guy that brought up if you don't already have a big one.
You know, can we start a little... Hold on for a minute. Get everybody out of here. Everybody out. Can we stop on...
Why don't you swallow your breakfast first?
Has anybody ever told you to swallow first, or...
Oh, man.
Yeah, okay, yeah, thank you, yeah. All right.
Yes, we'll start again, okay? Reboot. All right, and now it's time for our good friend, Chef Carl Cedilia, and today's recipe, talking about...
Well, you see, Phil, you set this up to be a big juvenile display.
He's the guy that said
big one.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, is he the guy that said it? God almighty, why did you get a... What is it with men being chefs? And women are just as good as... Women cook just as...
Women are as good as chefs as men.
That's what I was trying to say, but then I thought women cook up as good as men, and that might work, too.
Anyway, Chef Carl Cedilia is with us. Chef, how are you?
Yeah, I'm here. I thought I was almost on the phone. Welcome, everybody. I'm Chef Carl Cedilia. It's time for Chef Carl Cedilia's recipe of the day, and that is turkey. Now, I want to let you know that as I roll out the recipe for turkey, I may be interrupted by Phil and his panel there to ask me questions. I hope that doesn't throw you off.
You don't have to...
Yeah?
You don't have to mention that.
Well, I just did, so...
Roll again. Roll again.
Yeah.
Roll again, bud.
Oh, damn it, can't get to roll this thing out, you know?
What are you all of a sudden telling me what to do? Just roll again.
Roll it again, all right? This has got... You got to make it cleaner. What is that?
Ain't this the intro?
That's Bad Company, Ready for Love. All right, here we go, and Chef Carl Cedilia and today's recipe. All right, Chef, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Phil. Today's recipe is turkey, and we're going to be talking about turkey and how to cook it up. Now, I believe I've got it in a butter bowl, and once you have that, you have either the hen or you have the turkey. I think the male turkey is called the... Boy, what is it called?
Called a rooster, isn't it, or something?
No, it's not a rooster. It's a Tim.
Timmy!
That's it, the Timmy turkey.
Timmy turkey? Isn't it called a Tom turkey?
No. It's not called a Tom turkey. What?
Yes, it is. It's called the Tom turkey. That's the male.
My understanding, as Bud just said, it's a Timmy.
And you're a chef.
Yeah, I'm a chef and a darn good one. Now, when I say get a butter ball, make sure it's a Timmy. No, you're right. It is Tom. I got it right here. I got a wrapper right here from one that I ate last night. All right.
Wait a second. Did you eat an entire Tom turkey last night?
I don't know why when you say that. It sounds obscene, but it does.
God damn.
I ate a whole Tom turkey last night.
Did you?
That's none of your beeswax. So, folks, here's what you do. When you get out and when you get out of bed and you get away from everyone and you get just by yourself and you're alone in the kitchen and you can finally breathe, get out a Tom turkey. Or you can get the hen. There's the hen and there's the Tom.
The hen is female.
Yes, the hen's female and the Tom is a male. And you...
Introduce them.
You introduce them. You don't introduce them. You're going to cook one of them. And one of them, I recommend if you want a lot of turkey, for a very good price, get the Butter Ball Tom.
Now, can I ask a question?
Sure, why not?
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to get... All right, go ahead, Phil.
Is the Tom turkey, is the meat tougher on that?
Oh, they say it is. You can tenderize it. You can put in slabs of butter. What I recommend is you slice layers of the Tom turkey, and in between each layer of the slice, you put an entire stick of butter. And then what you do is reinforce the interior of the Tom turkey using an entire tub of, you can get these tubs of, I can't believe it's not really butter, because it tastes just like butter. But it's, in point of fact, it is a light margarine butter product. 40 calories, but stick the entire tub in there, taking the plastic out, but just empty the ingredients, and then also cream cheese. That'll soften up or tenderize, if you will, the Tom turkey. The next step that you're going to want to take is to, if you have an infrared onion...
You mean an infrared oven?
An infrared oven. Throw it out. Do not use it.
Oh, you don't recommend that.
No, I do not, and I'll tell you why. For my money, the only way to cook a Tom, any kind of a turkey, a Tom, a Timmy, the Tad turkey...
What was this? Is this a joke all of a sudden?
No, it's not a joke, no. You can get a Tom turkey, that's why I got confused. You can buy the Timmy turkey, there's a Tad turkey, and a Tony turkey. All of these...
Oh, please, stop it!
They're all available! You calling me a liar?
Hey, Chef, you know, this is not you, man.
I know, but I notice everyone that comes on your program is ready to throw down, and now I feel like it, because I got all you guys breathing on me.
Hey, let me tell you something, Cedilia. We're here listening to you. You're the chef. You're telling us about Timmy Turkey, Tony Turkey, Tom Turkey, and Tad Turkey.
Yeah, Tad Turkey. That's for people that hate turkey. I understand that there are people that hate turkey, even on Thanksgiving they hate it. They don't want to have nothing to do with it. So you serve them the Tad turkey so they can tear into it and rip into it and cannibalize it like animals. And I can tell you after today's show, I will want nothing but Tad turkey or Tud turkey. So that, it may sound like a joke to you, but for me it is a psychological impetus to help me enjoy turkey on a day where I may not. And after today's show...
Yeah, I know. We've ruined your taste for turkey. Tell you what you ought to do, Carl. Come on this show every day, and you'll finally start to lose weight.
Oh, you
All right, that is Chef Carl Cedilia, and this has been today's... And by the way, get him back on the line, because he's not allowed to hang up.
Yeah, Chef... Yeah, he's there.
I told you I was kidding.
You're kidding?
Yeah, I was pretending.
All right.
But that was really uncalled for, Phil.
Tell me about the infrared oven and why you don't like it.
I don't like infrared ovens. Thank you. I don't like infrared ovens because I don't like the idea of the turkey being cooked. I don't like the...
Knock it off, bud.
It's just an automatic loop.
Well, turn it off then.
I don't like turkeys being on automatic automatic loop. I don't like any kind of...
I'm sorry, it's on automatic loop.
I'm going to come over there and I'm going to strangle that punk kid.
Just get it.
I don't like turkeys that are cooked in these infrared ovens. I believe that turkey, especially on Thanksgiving Day, should be cooked in a long... it should take all day. You should be able to go into the kitchen and put the basting on it and open the oven and smell it and then close it and then go back, open the oven and smell it and close it. I mean, that's basically what you're doing.
Well, you are basting it all day long, right?
No, you don't need to baste it all day long when you have it in one of those cooking bags. But you can pretend like you're basting it, going over with an apron on, opening the oven and looking at the bag, and then saying, let me check on the turkey, like you have to, you know.
So what is the point of that, then?
To look like you're doing something with it.
Well, there's a lot of things I could suggest.
I was just about to say. And that certainly is nothing that you're going to want to do in front of, you, if you have the family over. But if you want to look like you're doing something with a turkey... Brother, you don't have to have it in an oven, if you know what I mean. Now, the other...
All right, thank you very much, Chef, and the best of luck to you, and have a happy Thanksgiving, even though we're over a month away from it.
I appreciate it very much, Phil. This is Chef Carl Cedilio saying bon appetit, and remember to always, always, always enjoy your meal, eat slowly, because the day won't be worth a pinch of coon shit from... I read that wrong. The day won't be worth a...
Thank you very much. That is Chef Carl Cedilio.
What is wrong with him?
I think he's like a lot of people. He's losing it, man. He's been on this show for far, far too many times. A far, far better thing. This is great. Here's a Christmas song for Lupe Fiasco called "The Adoration of the Magi."
And, we're really getting ready for the season around here, and we haven't even hit Halloween.
You mind if I enjoy Halloween? You mind if I enjoy my Halloween holiday first?
What do you mean your Halloween holiday?
I'd like to enjoy my Halloween holiday. And that is,
do you get into costume?
Yes, I do get into costume. I like to dress as an old school, one of those old school New York police officers with the big high hat. And I put in padding so I look like a big fat cop. All right, at one time I used to wear blackface. I don't do it anymore.
Oh, my God.
Well, I tried to show that black people were equal back then.
What are you talking about?
He used to dress up like a cop, like it was 1890s cop, only he wanted to be a black cop. Because you wanted to make it seem...
What?
You want to make it see what it looked like? I wanted people to see what it looked like if there was a black cop walking down the street in 1890.
What? That's the biggest load of horse shit I ever heard in my life.
Well, I can show you pictures.
No, thank you.
What is that supposed to mean? Think I got my fly open in them or something?
All right, thanks a lot. Thank you, Bud, for the music. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We're going to be right back with... we have Stephen Bozell to talk with us about water pressure. Is that what we're...
Stephen Bozell going to be on to talk about that old school thing.
Oh, the old school, yeah. The time that the whatever the hell it was.
When your washing machine blew up.
When my washing machine blew up. Be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com from the El Pacifico.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yeah, that's me, man.
Oh, for God's sake.
What do you mean, oh, for God's sake?
Well, you're hardly the age to go out advertising for...
I need some real good loving.
And you're a married man.
Well, who said I'm not getting it from my wife? Jesus, you sure do jump to conclusions. Yeah, who said I'm not getting it from my wife?
Oh, yeah, right. I need some real...
All right,
You know what? You sound like a hound dog.
What?
You sound like a hound dog rooting around a garbage can. I know. I know your type. Excuse me.
All right, fine. I don't want to hear about everybody's extracurriculars, if you don't mind, all right?
What does that mean?
You guys talking about the good old days when you were...
Look right there. There's a Tom Turkey there.
That's a chicken.
Oh.
That's television, too, so we have to...
Yeah, I know that.
At the reference to people, what we're... what we're looking at. Welcome back to our program, folks. So a number of years ago, I was on the air, and I was talking about a washing machine that I had just purchased, and my then wife had just purchased, and that we'd all just purchased. You know, we'd all...
All the kids kick in?
That's right. All the kids kicked in their change, and we all bought it. No, it was just a machine for the family. Anyway, the hose on the damn thing blew out of the wall. Not once, but twice. And two times, I either came home to I watched it happen once. I saw water just beginning to pour out from underneath the... and this is in a brand new home.
Oh, my God. I remember this, Phil. Brand new home. And it flooded a lot of carpeting, didn't it?
It flooded a good piece of the downstairs. I was pissed off. And then came... we had to get a bunch of people out there, and we had to get these cats, Service Pro. Thank you, Service Pro. They came out, they dried everything out, and I'll tell you one thing, though. It was so bad the second time that one of the guys quit. One of the guys quit his job going out and dry, because he couldn't figure this out, you know?
The guy's job was to dry it out. It wasn't his fault.
No, but he was so frustrated with the fact that he had to go out and dry out the same piece of carpeting twice. Then we had to look to make sure that we didn't get any of the drywall was compromised.
But what do you mean drywall?
That's the part...
Yeah, it's plaster wall.
It's a part of the... it's the plaster wall. Because, if water hits that, it can get soggy. And you have to replace it. So it was a real pain in the ass. And I got pissed. I was so angry that I first contacted Sears and told them what their machine had done. And, we'll send you another machine, Mr. Henry. And they sent me another machine. And then I contacted, that wasn't good enough because the damn thing kept, breaking out of the wall. Or the hose kept popping out of the wall. And what are we hearing music for, bud?
Sorry.
And you're always doing that.
Don't know the difference. I mean,
put tape there. What you do is you put tape. You write down on one piece of tape music, and on the other piece of tape, is that the telephone? That's Steve Bozell?
Yeah, it's Bozell.
I'm right here.
Okay, Steve, I'm telling the story right now.
Yeah, you go ahead, and I'm sitting back. I'm enjoying this.
Okay, Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, construction contractor. So I got so pissed off, I finally got on the phone to... what is it? Sears. And I called Sears in Chicago.
Yeah, you called the main office of Sears in Chicago, right?
Yes, yeah, the main office. And I even tried to get through to the very tippy-top guy. And I got as far as his executive secretary. I got as far as the executive secretary because when you're the head of Sears, man, you don't take calls from customers. You just don't do that. You're too... Can you imagine the precedent that would set? You know?
What does that mean, Phil?
Can you imagine the precedent it would set if the heavyweight from Sears or any company actually took a call from some scum-sucking customer?
Yeah, they'd have to take calls from all of them. Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So, in many ways, I endorse his decision.
Yeah, but what you're going to do is you're going to get on here and you're going to blame construction.
Whoa, Ace. All right. So, anyway, all this stuff, I got all the way to Sears, and they get me a new machine. I didn't have to talk to the president of the company. I got to the executive secretary, and she got me a new machine. Anyway, long story short, it was not the Sears machine at all. It was the water pressure in the neighborhood.
Now, you had mentioned, Mr. Henry, I think you got to go back. This was an ongoing construction site. This was an ongoing construction concern, and as a construction contractor, I can tell you that you have got a lot of things going. You got a lot of balls in the air, and you're juggling all kinds of balls each and every day. And I'm talking to people who are homeowners. I'm talking to suppliers. I'm talking to the individual who's actually contracting to have the home. And I remember on many jobs, and I do a lot of commercial jobs, that they would call up and say, "What are you doing?" I said, "I got some balls in the air," and they would take that to mean, because they didn't hear right, that I'm playing.
That you've got you're playing with your balls?
Yeah, that's exactly right, because you can never go fast enough.
Oh, are you kidding? Are you being serious now, or are you just being facetious?
No, I was joking about one particular job. When they called and they said, "How are we progressing?" It was a business park over here in Montebello. I said, "I got a lot of balls, and I'm half, juggling them, and they said, well, what is that that line from Uncle Buck about ball handling?
All right, just never mind, Steve. So what we're talking here with Steve Bozell is a construction contractor. My whole point was this, all right?
Yeah, but...
Oh, wait, let me tell the audience. The house that I was living at the time, we had purchased this home in a new area where they were still building other homes. There were probably only 15 homes in the area, but about, I would say, three or four were still under construction. I know that my neighbor, one of my neighbors on the street below me and another neighbor next door, their houses were still being built. So there was literally a construction trailer there on the street, not more than 50 yards from my house. And every day there was this cat in there. I'll never forget this guy. He was the foreman, this one-armed guy.
You talk about a one-armed guy. I mean,
there's a one-armed guy. He can't do that much ball handling.
Will you shut up, bud?
Please.
No, that's not funny. Well, I was going to say, a one-armed guy is already at a disadvantage in being able. You don't have to have two hands to be a construction foreman. But by the same token, he's already at a disadvantage in terms of just getting himself around in a construction trailer. And the fact that you had told me that this guy had lost his arm by diving into an empty swimming pool, that tells me that this is a man that works hard and parties hard. And
I don't know what that means.
Well, didn't you tell me that?
How do you lose your arm diving into an empty swimming pool?
That's what Mr. Henry told me.
I heard some story. Look, I don't want to get into a whole thing.
This man lost an arm diving into an empty swimming pool, and he's the foreman at a construction site. I understand.
Look, I would not hire a guy like that, but I would hire a man who plays hard and works hard, who's hard-charging and tries to get it done. And
yeah, what difference is a big guy plays hard, works hard, can even stay hard well beyond the normal man.
Shut your mouth, will you? Come on, bud.
Hey. Can I say something?
You've been doing nothing but talking here, Steve. You mind if I just finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
God, Phil.
I'm going to finish what I'm saying here. The point that I'm trying to make is that it was not Sears' fault. It was not the machines. I found out about a year later from someone who said that the construction foreman had gone to one of the other homeowners and said, yeah, we got a water pressure problem. And I heard about Mr. Hendry's house. He referenced my house. And I was, are you kidding me?
All right, now hold on for a minute.
Wait. He referenced my house. They had been pumping too much water pressure into the houses, and mine in particular, and they blew the hose out of the wall three times, man, and these guys never said anything to me. I swear to God, if ever there was a lawsuit, there it was. But hey. You know, I was happy that I had the house, and I was happy the thing finally got fixed. It was no end of hell on earth for my family because we got guys are in there trying to dry out carpeting, not once, but twice, and I think it actually happened three times.
All right, let me say something, Mr. Ray. This is the point I'm trying to make, and this is why I come on your program. You know, we work very hard to do what we do. You got a construction foreman there who has got one arm. You say he got it diving into an empty swimming pool. I would understand that because that's a guy who gets off of the job every day and is so under such pressure that he's probably under more pressure
than a water pressure.
Yeah, I was going to say that right there, Dickman. You know, probably under more pressure than the water pressure was under, and the fact that the house.
But wait, what do you mean more pressure than the water pressure was under? More pressure than the house.
Right, more pressure than the house. And he gets off the job, and the first thing he thinks to do is to dive into an empty swimming pool. And not because he's trying to kill himself.
Well, I was going to say, are you trying to claim he's suicidal?
No, he's not suicidal. He wants to refresh. He wants to get the dirt and the filth of the job off of him, and there's no water in the pool. And he loses his arm. And
I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. That the man would work so hard in his life, dive into an empty swim. Somewhere along the line, he lost that arm in that pool. Man, I don't want to be the... That's a sad story, but...
So what are you saying, Steve? Are you saying that you guys work so hard that these mistakes are bound to happen?
I think you cannot single out one instance of a hose blown out of a wall and saying that is exemplary of the entire construction business. Now, right now... I'm in a construction site right now, and I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. We are putting in a gas heater in a home down the street. I'm going to walk out here onto this sidewalk. We're putting a gas heater into one of these homes down here, all right? Now, I don't want you to get scared, but we've not been successful with this Go ahead, Betty, and
go about time.
Go ahead and put it in now. And whatever you do, whenever you are what the fuck is that?
Yeah,
I got sick, so that's a water heater. Now, that water heater blew up, okay?
And that water heater blew up?
Yeah, that body blew up, but guess what? We're not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to walk away, and I'm not going to say, oh, well, Mr. Henry or Mr. whoever, you got to call the water heater company. I'm going to keep putting water heaters into that house until one of them takes. And I don't care if I blow the whole half of the house off the foundation.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Well, maybe, but you don't know my business. Put another one in. I tell you, but put another one in, I said. I do not quit. I don't. God damn it. There goes again. There goes again. Put another one in.
Hey, Steve.
No. I'm not going to have you talking stuff. Put another. I said, get that other one off the truck. Yeah, but that's about. Put the other one on there, man. I can show you that we just blew another one up. All right, put another one on.
This is absolutely ridiculous and suicidal.
Don't tell me my business. Put another one in. Come here, man. Put another one in. Look, I'll tell you now, and I tell you true, that what I want you to do here. I don't know what the hell's wrong with it. It might be a faulty water heater.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. And by the way, is there much of the house left?
There's enough of the house left to make it worth their while. Yeah. You know what, Phil? I'm going to go over here and just, I had some pork chops that I was going to make. Let me just put a match here to this stove.
That's very funny.
Where is he?
Get him back on the phone.
Captain Bozell? Mr. Henry? Yeah, Mr. Bozell? Mr. Henry's not fooled. He knows you're still alive. He knows you're still alive.
I'm trying to make him think I'm dead.
Well, why did the phone fade out?
I don't know. I just dropped the phone and decided to hang it up.
And what was the penalty for that?
No, I didn't hang it up. I just clicked it on hold.
So, did you really blow up a part of a house with it?
No, I didn't. What I did is I had the guys line up a few water heaters. Here, and go ahead and set another one off, Billy. We're just blowing them up, you know.
And how many water heaters are you destroying to make your point?
I'll destroy as many water heaters as is possible to make my... By the way, these are all water heaters that are faulty anyway, so we're just going ahead and... I've put out a couple of little, like an eighth of a stick of dynamite. How many is that?
16.
I'm going to blow all of these to hell and back.
Because they're faulty.
Yeah, because I just don't like them. I don't like the product, and I don't like the... Yeah. Webco, you ever heard of them?
No, I haven't.
That's a water heater company. But I can tell you, Phil, we do a lot of work, and we do an awful lot of good things for people.
Hey, how long are you going to be blowing up water heaters?
Long as it takes, okay? We do a lot of good work, and we do...
I mean, you can't fix these.
No, ma'am. They're faulty right out of there, and I won't even send them back to the factory. Blow them all to hell, Bill.
Yeah, another one.
Yeah, two more. Go ahead. Go ahead. Blow that goddamn thing to Kingdom. Yeah, there you go. I don't want to see or hear these water heaters. I don't want to know them. I don't want to be around any of them. I don't want to even... Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love it. No, that's my point, and that's and I'm sticking with it, Mr. Henry.
All right, well, you know, you can be a dedicated construction contractor, which I don't think is a bad thing. Are you still just...
I got a couple more.
You can be a dedicated construction contractor, and you can do the... You can do the very best work that you possibly can do, but you also, in at least in that man's case, maybe not in yours, Steve, in that man's case, you've got to be honest. I appreciate your honesty, and I appreciate the fact that even now, as you're talking to us, you're blowing water heaters up.
Yeah, I'm not going to put these in the house. I don't like it. I don't like the looks of them. I don't like the fact my brother-in-law ran the company.
How many are you blowing up, man?
I'll blow the whole goddamn bunch of them up. I don't care if it's...
There's another guy we're hanging up on this morning, so we're betting 1,000 here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, I just want to be clear. You can hang up on people.
But they can't hang up on me. You got it.
Ah, I see.
Uh-huh. And I ain't never did this before, no. And I ain't never did this before, no. And I ain't never did this before, no.
Woo! I ain't never did this before, no. And I ain't never...
world-famous Phil Henry Show appreciates very much your support of our podcast and your support of our ongoing good work at our website. And what is that good work that we do at our website? Well, we put out a podcast that is a handcrafted top shelf, top of the line. It's a beautiful thing, man. This podcast is something that goes above and beyond the usual Call of Duty for most podcasts. We're not sitting here with a microphone and interview. Now, there's a lot of guys that do that very well, don't get me wrong. And then there's a lot of guys that do that very poorly. And please, don't get me wrong there either. So what we try to do is bring you something just a little bit different. World famous.
You sounded like Tom Joyner there from
working. Do you know that, Phil?
Yeah.
We try to bring you something that's a little bit different. The world famous Phil Henry Show. And PhilHenryShow.com. So thank you for supporting the podcast. Thank you for supporting our website. Thank you for supporting good quality audio entertainment. Good quality, top of the line, top shelf, blue label. The Johnny Walker Blue, if you will, of the Don Julio of podcasts. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Yeah, man.
One for the road.
We're going to go to a couple of guys that we've always enjoyed having on the program. That's Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton are a couple of interesting guys. These dudes have been a part of our show for a number of years as the state legislators from West Virginia. They're in Charleston, West Virginia, where they hold forth at the state capitol, and they join us on our newsmaker line here this morning. Kurt, good morning. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Phil, it's been too long, my friend.
And Guy Barton, Guy? And you guys are selling out in front of the state capitol there, what?
Well, we have something that every Tea Party member will want to have, and that is a big, sexy portrait. You got that?
We have it rolled out right here.
We're going on the steps of the state capitol here, and...
Now, watch out what you say about every Tea Party member there, Kurt.
Oh, look at General. I don't mean anything personal, you know. But a lot of these Tea Parties are going to want to have this because they've been talking it up. Get that out.
Yeah, but I feel what we have here is a beautiful, multicolored, full poster of Vladimir Putin with no shirt on.
What do you think of that, Phil?
Yeah, I know that's what these clowns were doing.
Oh, that's cute. You're really going to make people angry, though.
I'm not trying to make nobody angry.
Now, we're about to make. We know the Tea Party and our conservative, they love to look at Putin.
Yeah, hey, because they all talking about Putin.
All right, now look, let's give some background here. In some areas, not all areas, in some areas of the extreme right, some people have said they admire Putin. I don't think that that's a across-the-board opinion.
I should say not, and especially me, a member of the United States military.
Well, you know, so you got your head screwed on straight, gentlemen. To the extent that there are some of these people here that love to see Putin with no shirt on, I'm sorry, I ain't got no pants on.
We try to find one, and he got no pants on, you know.
Now, I bet you that'd sell big, too.
Now, what is the background on why you think Tea Party people like Putin?
Well, they think Putin is all this and a bag of chips right here. Guy's got more of a handle on...
Well, the reason why they live with Putin is because they think Putin is kicking ass. Excuse my French, Margaret, and good morning to you.
Good morning, Guy.
They like Putin because they think he is strong and manly, and he's kicking ass on ISIS and all this. And so now you have the right wing in America saying they love a Russian. They love them a Russian, right? Which is fine with me, because the Democrats are the one eyeball, you know.
Well, what do you mean, went eyeball to eyeball?
Everybody knows Kennedy.
Yeah, everyone knows Kennedy went eyeball to eyeball with a communist.
And what do you call Ronald Reagan? Just, a footnote to history?
Well, I mean, Reagan come along. He didn't go eyeball to eyeball. All Reagan done is just said, look, man, y'all got to stop. But he didn't go eyeball to eyeball, no military. You see what I'm saying?
There was no international incident. You know.
Well, a damn good thing there was an international incident.
Yeah, what about that one time, though, when there was almost World War III?
Yeah, what about that?
What do you mean, one time is almost World? What are you two knucklehead talking about?
Well, I think they're referencing, is it the 83?
Yeah, when they thought the missiles went off.
Oh, they're talking about that time. Oh, yeah, well, that was Ronald Reagan's fault in the first place.
Now, how are you figuring that?
Ronald Reagan was all ready to go to, you know, go and kick ass on commies. Now, the commies are paranoid. So then they saw, like, a missile launch because the computers is all fouled up. And they thought it was for real.
Yeah, on account of Ronald Reagan had them all jumpy, you know.
And a good thing he had them jumpy, too, my friend.
Oh, look, I don't think scaring people to the point where they're ready to pull the trigger on World War III is such a good thing. But having said all of that, and that having been the case, what I think Guy and Kurt are saying is that the Kennedy Missiles of October incident was far more concentrated, much more out in the open, and for all the world to see, not some kind of obfuscated and weird after-the-fact event.
What do you mean, after-the-fact event?
We didn't hear anything about that until years later.
Yeah, see that thing that happened in 83? Who knows who's telling the truth about that? But, you know...
But I don't think anyone's... Do you think they're lying?
No, I think they're probably telling the truth. But, well, what I'm trying to tell you is... Let's put it this way. Give me the phone, man. Because I know what I'm doing here.
Well, I know what I'm doing.
I tell you what, why don't you sell some posters out there?
Hey, get your Putin poster here. Yeah!
How you doing, ma'am? You want one? Vladimir Putin has got his shirt off here. I think if you look down here, you'll see the flies on.
So anyway, Kennedy said, look, y'all, take them missiles out of Cuba before we got some real problem. And Khrushchev hammered hard and all this defense. Okay, I will.
Well, you know, there was a lot more to it than that.
There probably was. But the fact of the matter is, now you got some right-wingers. They love them some Putin. Now, what's that all about?
Yeah, they love them some Putin. Yeah, here it is here.
All right, look, you guys are state legislators. You guys have other business to attend to, the business of the people. You guys are out in front of the state capitol in West Virginia doing some clown act selling posters of Putin.
I think so, and God knows that I'm probably more sympathetic with you than you would imagine. But standing out in front of the state capitol there, as Phil said, like some clown act, with pictures of a half-naked man, how do you know that doesn't indict you?
Well, now, what do you mean?
Yeah, what's that about?
Well, everyone said, well, look at these two clowns. Look at these two old fruits. And
whoa.
Yeah, right there. Those two old fruits hawking pictures of a guy. He's got no shirt on, and he's all, you know, looking manly, and what do you call that, a huggy bear?
Yeah, they're bears.
Oh, will you guys shut up?
Hey, man, look, I'm not the guy who's talking up Putin like,
Yeah, you know, a lot of these right-wingers talk about Putin like they want the Putin in the culo. And
wait, hey.
I'm sorry, Phil, but...
Look, Phil, all we're doing is having a little bit of fun here.
All right, what poster is it?
What, are you collecting them?
Are you collecting them?
No, I'm not. Hey, yeah, Phil, get all 10 of the Putin posters.
No, this is the one of him on a horseback.
Yeah, this is the one that guns everybody's engine. This one of guns the right wingers, and you love seeing a man on horseback, you know, and he got no shirt on and he's riding down the stream. All them Tea Party people really gets him off. So, I tell you,
hey, Joey,
hold on for a minute.
All right, okay, now, guy's over talking to Joey Finbar. Joey's a real right wing Republican here in the State House, gonna sell him.
Come on, Joey.
Yeah, Joey, you don't want that picture of Putin, huh? Man, I think you sprung a pup tent. So,
All right, well, it's a pretty juvenile stunt, I think, guys.
Why do you say that?
Oh, you know, I don't think you're making any point at all. You're just saying, okay, so a few of these right-wingers like Putin, so the whole damn right wing...
No, I don't think it's just a few of them, Phil. I think the whole... I think the whole right wing in America is sort of infected with this Putin love, you know?
Yeah, gotta get them some Putin, you know, and the name Putin is filthy. Just filthy.
Why do you say it's filthy? Why? Because it's Putin, as in Poontang or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow.
Margaret, you a lady.
Margaret, why would you say something like that?
I'm trying to get to the bottom of what it is you guys are saying.
Well, look, if you got a man who is the head of one of the most powerful countries in the world, and his name is Putin, friend, you have a recipe for all kinds bullcrap.
All right, we're talking here with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton from the West Virginia State Capitol, and they are selling posters of Putin to all of their Tea Party friends because they think that guns their engine. Only because you saw probably something on Twitter, right, Guy?
I saw a thing on Twitter. A guy said he had a picture of Obama riding a bicycle, and then he had Putin on a horseback, and you'd swear to God this right-winger was getting a pup tent over there. And I even tweeted at the guy. I said, hey, what's up with you, man? Are you springing a tent? And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, I bet you got a chub going. And then he just, like, blocked me. And
that guy?
That guy Kelly. He's in Chicago. So there was another woman.
Well, wait. So you said what?
I thought I...
He said that the guy had a picture of Putin.
Yeah, this guy had a picture of Putin saying, hey, Putin is all this, and he's all this in a couple of box seats, you know. And I said, well, are you got a pup tent going? Block me. So then comes this lady, and it's her name is R.W. Surfer Girl. And she out of Newport B. I don't know if it's a she or a he or whatever it is. And he or it had this picture of Putin, and I said, I bet you spring in a tent, too. And she goes, don't I look like a lady? I said, the picture you got there looked like a lady. I said, you could be anything. You might not even be human. You might be like a barnyard animal or something, blocked. So then I get...
Well, naturally, they're going to block you.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, I'm trying to sell them a poster.
You're not going to sell anyone a poster by saying to a woman, are you springing a pup tent? For God's sake.
Well, I didn't mean it literally.
Well, then why don't you... look, again, what you're doing is trolling people on Twitter and trying to sell them posters out in front of the state capitol, and I don't think it's befitting a couple of representatives of the state of West Virginia.
I agree. I agree 100%. And you know me, I like you guys, but this is silly.
I'll tell you, Phil, I've got 20 posters to sell. I'm not going to let you or anybody in your audience, as much as I respect you, Phil... deflect me from my appointed round, right?
Yeah, we are going to sell 20 posters. By God, it's going to short you-know-what every you-know-what in the Congo. And,
What do you mean, every you-know-what?
I'm not at liberty to say, and...
I know what they're talking about.
Well, good luck with the poster sales. I don't know,
Hey, Sam, why don't you buy one and put one up in the studio here?
Sure, we'll buy one and put one up in the studio here. Then everybody's going to think that I'm in love with Putin.
Well, I mean, yeah, so.
I don't want to particularly leave that impression, if you don't mind.
Oh, come on, Phil. You know,
I'm not a guy that thinks that he's all that.
Yeah, well, you know, you put that up in a studio, man. Instead of that ocean behind you, you have something to look at on that Phil TV.
Yeah, go ahead and buy one. Do you guys mail order?
Do you what?
Do you mail them?
No, I'm afraid we don't.
Well, then I can't buy one now, can I?
Oh, shit. You ain't going to be in West Virginia anytime soon, are you?
No, I'm afraid I'm not. Thank you, though, guys. Great to talk with you. Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy from the West Virginia State Legislature, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, R.C. Collins going to talk with us here about the Ronda Rousey fight.
Goddamn.
Holly Holm on November the 14th in Australia. R.C. Collins will be discussing the fight there. And Margaret, you too?
Well, yes, I've got a couple of opinions on this young lady, Ronda Rousey, and not so much on Holly Holm. I don't know much about the UFC, but I know that the fight is there in Australia on November the 14th for the women's bantamweight. What is it?
Yeah, for the women's bantam.
For the women's bantamweight championship.
White man just fooling. Woo! The niggas with attitudes. Who you fooling? Y'all niggas just phony. I put that on my mama.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Don't forget to share the podcast with your friends, with your family, and share our podcast on social media. Do something, anything, to justify your existence for one more day on this ever dwindling, ever shrinking, but ever so beloved planet Earth. Yeah, baby. Someday we'll be migrating to the planet of Mars. Shit.
So you think calling it the planet of Mars gives it too much dignity, huh?
What's that?
I said, you think giving it the name the planet of Mars...
Oh, Jesus, Phil, you're looking at me over your shoulder like, so you think... Like you're almost... hey, big boy.
Hey, man, I'm at... Didn't you say that?
Yes, I said something like that. What about it?
Well, so, why would you want to migrate to a planet that we're giving too much dignity to?
You know, the two of you all of a sudden...
No, it's a good question.
I would migrate to another planet that we're giving too much dignity to justify the dignity.
What are you talking about, giving too much dignity?
When we call it the planet of Mars, look, it's a ball out there in space that isn't doing anything other than taking up space. And, oh, guess what? We found water. Woo! You know.
Yeah, but that's a pretty big thing.
Woo!
Shut up! Woo!
Okay, General.
Woo! General, why don't you grow up? Because we found water on Mars.
Hey, General, what's the story?
These guys are giving me a heart. We found water on Mars. So what? What are you going to do with it?
The point is, you can land there. You can put men... you can put people there, you know.
When you said men, Phil, that was sufficient. I assumed that you also meant women. You know, it is called mankind.
All right. So you can put mankind there. And
you don't have to go, mankind, you know, waving your arms around like you just answered a question from someone who's missing part of their face. God damn.
All right, so we put a man on Mars. Now, the next thing that that guy may be able to do if we find water there is begin to sustain life there with the use of that water. There may be the ability to irrigate, to eventually grow some kind of organic food stuff. I don't know. But that's why water is significant.
I think it's a load of shit.
All right. R.C. Collins is joining us from Northern California. R.C. has graduated. He is no longer... he's no longer up at Bradley Military Academy. Boy, it's been a lot of years for this young man. He's at his father's home there in Palo Alto, California. R.C., a very pleasant good day to you. How are things, man? When did you finally leave Bradley?
Well, Mr. Henry, I left Bradley Military Academy 6 weeks ago tomorrow, and it's been a long, long, very interesting road to the present times. There's no question about it.
What are you doing now?
What?
What are you doing now?
Well, I'm working with my father's firm, a small computer company called Alane, and they make the casing and the keyboards and everything for it. And
is it your dad's company?
Well, my dad is the manufacturer. He don't own the computer company. He had the contract for the computer company. My father does small parts manufacturing at two plants in the San Leandro and another one in the Daly City.
Okay, and you're going to be working for him?
Well, I'm considering my options right now. That's kind of what I'm doing now. I'm going to bide my time, review the landscape, make a couple of phone calls, you know, in the words of the great Jack Nicholson in Last Detail, hoist a few more, you know, General?
You mean hoist a few more?
And the beers...
Well, you got to drink a few more beers.
Yeah, I'm going to have a couple of more beers.
Well, R.C., how long have you been out of school now, 6 weeks?
Yes, ma'am, 6 weeks. So I feel that I'm entitled to a little bit of a vacation.
Well, there's no question about that, R.C. If you've gotten out of high school and you're on your way to... The question that we have is that you are going to pursue a career in college or the military, I thought.
Well, the idea was that I flirted with the idea of attending the West Point Military Academy at West Point with an eye toward going to airborne school in Fort Benning, Georgia. But I started to think about it, and it didn't make no sense to me on account of the war in Afghanistan is over and the war in Iraq, and I would do a lot better for my country back here in the manufacturing sector. And that's why I've been biding my time and reviewing the landscape. And
yeah, we know, and making a few phone calls and hoisting a few more.
Well, yeah, I mean, God, you say it like you say it like you're making fun of me. And
well, I am making fun of you a little bit. You can't just sit there on your can.
Hey, I just got out of school 6 weeks ago, General. Okay, so, you know, just maybe turn the Bunsen burner down a little bit, man. I'm sitting on that stove. How about turning it down to broil?
Hey, young man, I'll tell you this much. I would turn it right up to roast and cook your ass right off of that stove and get you motivated.
I'm motivated plenty, General. I want to say one other thing. I'm not in your stinking army anymore.
All right, all right, all right. My stinking army.
That's right.
Hey. No need for you two guys to be at each other's throats. You guys used to be on the same side of the ball at one time, right? You were in military academy?
Yeah, I was in the military academy. A lot of good it do me when I try to get into
World. Uh-huh. So now we've got the news. You didn't make it into West Point. They wouldn't have you at West Point, would they?
I needed to get the recommendation of a U.S. congressman.
Yeah, did your dad try to get any?
Father tried to get a few. I tried to, but ain't one swinging dick.
Hey, friend, you're talking about the U.S. Congress.
Yeah, that's right, and there isn't one swinging dick there ready to back me up.
All right, well, R.C., so it means that you're going to be working for your father, at least in the short term.
Well, right now I'm biding my time.
Yeah, you're reviewing a landscape and you got to hoist a few. Daddy heard about it.
Oh, why don't you shut... You know what's wrong with you, but with you, Dickman? Or as they call you, Dickless. And
I beg your pardon?
They're just saying...
Okay. Let's talk about Ronda Rousey before we get too far afield of what's happening here.
Who?
Ronda Rousey.
Ain't she the one that you came on to talk about?
Oh, yeah, Ronda Rousey. Well, Ronda Rousey is going to be fighting Holly Holm for the November 14th Bantamweight Championship of the world. And that's going to be on November the 14th.
What are you talking about, November 14th? Is that the only day she's going to be the champion?
Well, it says they're fighting for the November 14th Women's Bantamweight Championship, so I'm assuming that on November the 15th it expires.
What an idiot!
No, that's not how it works.
Well, I don't know. But I think Ronda Rousey is a very, very interesting fighter. She looks hot. I just seen her on TV today in a tight...
Yeah, a real tight skirt.
Man, it showed everything. Like that big-ass girl you seen, Mr. Henry.
All right, you think that's what this fight is about, huh?
Well, I'm just talking about the big butt.
You think that's what this fight is about?
I think there's a lot of interest that she's gained.
There's no question, Phil. She's gained a lot of interest for the fight game because of her, shall we say, physical charms.
Yeah, so I'm going to be biding my time, hoisted a few beers, and reviewing the landscape and watching the fight there of Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey.
All right, well, R.C., the very best of luck. If you don't want to go to West Point, you don't want to go to West Point. Is college out?
Is what?
Is college out? Are you not going to go to college?
College? Why?
You were going to go to West Point.
Well, that's West Point. That's a military... What? That's where you go to be in the military.
West Point's a college.
Well, I wasn't aware of that.
If you'd have known that, you wouldn't have had applied, huh?
Say that again? God, he's all...
You kind of butchered it up.
If you had known that, you never would have applied?
Applied to what?
Okay, R.C., great to talk to you, man.
Uh-huh.
Moron.
Ronda Rousey, by the way, can I...
Go ahead.
I don't really want to dwell too much more on him, but Ronda Rousey is a very, very attractive young woman. There's no question about that. But let's just say something here that no one really wants to talk about, and that is Ronda Rousey gets into the ring, let's say, and she's at the top of her game. She's at the top of her popularity. She is at the very, very tippy top of what one would call the fight game. And there she is with that beautiful face of hers and that beautiful body of hers. And then suddenly she walks right into a sidekick that hits her right across the bridge of the nose and pretty much the width of the face. Ouch.
What are you saying?
What am I saying? I'm saying, what if she takes a sidekick to the face? Ronda, darling, quit. Give up the game before it happens. All of a sudden, she's going to be walking around with the flat nose like this.
Now, let's just hope that doesn't happen, okay? Let's just hope that nobody has to suffer that kind of injury.
Yeah, yeah, well, keep hoping, friend.
World-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on Podcast One.
Ronda, don't take the sidekick to the face, and all of a sudden you're walking around like Dave Tiger Williams, you know, biting a wall.
Jesus!
I said I was gonna go to West Point. That ain't college. That's the military.